Even before this. Eva. Certainly. Indeed. Pumsa. By the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Abhadrittaha. Was certainly known. Vrajvaraha. The distress on the earth. Vavadvihi. By your good selves. Amshahai. Expanding as plenary portions. Yadushu. In the family of King Yadu. Upajanyatam. Take your birth and appear there. Saha. He. Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yavat. As long as. Uthyaha. Of the earth. Varam. The burden. Ishvara, Ishvara, the Lord of Lords, Svakala Shakcha, by his own potency, the time factor. Akshapayan, diminishing. Charat, should move. Bhuvi, on the surface of the earth. So translation, Lord Brahma informed the demigods, before we submitted our petition to the Lord, he was already aware of the distress on earth. Consequently, for as long as the Lord moves on earth to diminish its burden by his own potency in the form of time, all of you demigods should appear through plenary portions as sons and grandsons in the family of the Yadus. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As stated in the Brahma Sankhita, in the fifth chapter, text 39, Ramati Murti Shukkalani Amena Tishtan Nanna Vatana Makarol Bhuvanesh Yukintu Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Paraman Bhumanyo Govinda Madhi Purushyam Tamaham Bhajami. I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, who was always situated in various incarnations such as Rama, Nrisimha, and many sub-incarnations as well. But who is the original personality of Godhead known as Krishna, and who incarnates personally also? In this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, we find the words, Puraiva Pumsa Vadrato Dharadvaraha. The word Pumsa refers to Krishna, who was already aware of how the whole world was suffering because of the increase of demons. Without reference to the supreme power of the personality of Godhead, demons assert themselves to be independent kings and presidents, and thus they create a disturbance by increasing their military power. When such disturbances are very prominent, Krishna appears. At present also, various demoniac states all over the world are increasing their military power in many ways, and the whole situation has become distressful. Therefore, Krishna has appeared by his name in the Hare Krishna movement, which will certainly diminish the burden of the world. Philosophers, religionists, and people in general must take to this movement very seriously, for man-made plans and devices will not help bring peace on earth. The transcendental sound, Hare Krishna, is not different from the person Krishna. So Namachintamani Krishnash Chaitanya Rasadigrama Purna Shudho Nityamukto Vinatval Namanam in the whole. There is no difference between the sound Hare Krishna and Krishna the person.
So again.
Puraiva pumsa vrita dara dhatvaro vavadviramsa yarushupa janyatam sayavarur vyabaram ishvareshvaraha svakala sakcha shapayam stared bhuvi.
Right. So, Om Ganatim Vandasa, Viranjana Svakaya Chaksur, Unmiritam Yena, Tasmai Shi Gurave Namaha. Several interesting points here. Of course, the first point that Srila Prabhupada makes is that Krishna, being in the heart of all living entities, Andanturastam Paramanu Chayanturastam Govindamani Purusham Tamaham Vajami. In other words, Krishna is everywhere. Ishwara Sarvabhutanam Radecha Arjuna Tishtati Abramayan Sarvabhutani Yantra Rudani Maya. That's another verse from Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is seated in the heart of all living entities. And then Krishna is in everyone's heart, giving everyone remembrance, forgetfulness, and knowledge. So in other words, Krishna is aware of everything. That's one of the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is omniscience. Omniscience means he knows everything. He's all these omni words, you know, he's omniscient, he's all good, he's all-powerful, he's all-beautiful. Of course, these are the qualities of Bhagavan. And so Krishna is fully aware of this. So the question is, why do the demigods have to pray, or Lord Brahma have to pray to Lord Vishnu if he's already aware of it? This is part of the devotional reciprocation of the Lord with his devotees. It's not that you really have to ask God for something, because God knows what you need. As Krishna says in the Gita, what is it? Ananyas chintayantamam yejanak paripasate tesham nityabhiyuktamam yogakshema vahamiyaham. What does that verse mean? It means that for those who are devoted to me, I take care of them. Whatever they need, I give them. You don't have to ask Krishna for it. Krishna will give you whatever you want, whatever you need, sorry. Not whatever you want. Krishna will give you whatever you need, even if it means a slap in the face sometimes. But that, we should have that faith. One who has no other focus in his life, in his mind, in his heart, other than Krishna, then Krishna preserves what he has and carries what he lacks. Famous verse. Famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. But the devotees, sometimes they pray to the Lord because that's their devotional reciprocation. And so this is what's happening here. And also Krishna arranged that they would pray to him so he could give them instructions through the heart of Lord Brahma to appear on the earth planet. Now generally we find whenever the Lord appears, he comes with his associates. Just like we hear, Sango Panga Straparshanam Yagyahi Sankritana Prayaya. Ijanti hi sumedasa, Krishna varnam tuisa krishnam, sango pangastra parshanam yagyai sankirtanai prayar. Ijanti hi sumedasa. This verse states that in this age of Kali, Krishna appears not in a blackish form, but in a form that is always chanting Hare Krishna, his name, Varnati. Krishna is chanting his name. And he comes with his associates, just like we have the Panchatattva. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhar, and Srivas. So he comes with his expansions, his incarnation, his energy, Gadadhar, who is Radharani, and he comes with Srivas Thakur, who is the Jiva soul, representing Narada Muni. So, also he sends down the demigods. This is interesting. From this particular, this story is interesting because the demigods took birth in the Yadav dynasty, but not all the members of the Yadav dynasty were demigods. Some of them were eternal associates of Krishna. So in other words, when Krishna appears, There's a mixed group there. Some of Krishna's associates are demigods, and some are his, would it be my eternal associates? Those who travel with Krishna from one pastime to another. Can anyone think of one example of someone who travels with Krishna from one pastime to another? Is it, what? Huh? Lord Balaram. Yeah, he's in a direct expansion. So let's say, yeah, that's very good. But someone else who, yeah, because Balaram appears as Nityananda, Balaram appears as Lakshman, Balaram appears as Seshanaga, all these different, Balaram even appears as the Brahman thread of Krishna, the Singhasana where Krishna is sitting, the umbrella over his head. But let's talk about jiva souls. Is there a jiva soul that you know who travels with Krishna wherever he goes? Forget about Krishna's expansions right now. We're talking about jiva soul. Jiva soul means like Sumuk. No, he's not traveling with Krishna. Like who did you say?
Arjuna.
Arjuna travels with Krishna. Whenever Krishna comes, Arjuna is with him. And because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that what? Imam vivasate yogam bhagavanaham avyam vivasvan manave praha amanurikshvakave pravet. He says in the beginning, I instructed this science to vivasvan. Vivasvan instructed Manu, etc. But Krishna explains to Arjuna, you were there too, boy. But then Krishna says, the reason you don't remember is because you're taking different bodies. Because even a pure devotee, when he comes down, he takes a body on this earth planet. You have to do that, because there's no other way to function. But when Krishna comes down, Ajopi sanavyatma bhutanam isharopishan swat prakatim swamadishtaya sambhavamya maya, he comes in his original spiritual body. When a pure devotee comes down, he has to take a body made of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And so, therefore, you know, he has diseases and everything like that. Krishna never gets diseases, except when he's making believe that he has a headache to get the dust of the feet from his devotees. So, anyway, so Arjuna is one of those personalities who travels with Krishna. And, of course, you have Uddhava and other personalities who continually travel with Krishna. And what's described as Krishna's transcendental roadshow. So whenever a pastime is occurring here, and the pastime ends here, the pastime starts somewhere else. And the interesting thing about all these associates who travel with Krishna, they're all expansions of residents of Goloka Vrindavan. It's like you have Krishna's eternal bird carrier. Who's that? Garuda. The bird carrier. So he's an expansion of a coward boy in Vrindavan. Did you know that? It's interesting. So all Krishna's eternal associates, Nityaparshadas, they're called Nityaparshadas, eternal associates, they actually have their original form in Goloka Vrindavan. I mean, even Narada Muni, who's generally worshipping Krishna in the mood of Vaikuntha Ras, in the mood of awe and reverence, he has a gopi form. Did you know that? You didn't know that? Narada Muni is actually a gopi. He's called Naradi. Naradi. One time I gave a lady initiation here in Fiji, a Naradi. And she was so upset because she thought I was calling her Narada Muni. She's really angry. Now she's appreciating it. She likes her name now. So even Narada Muni, all these eternal associates, they actually have some Vrindavan manifestation, the original manifestation, and they expand from Vrindavan. That's explained in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So here in Dwarka, and in Mathura, the Yadu dynasty, they're expanding, they're demigods, and, you know, Nitya devotees, Nitya Parshadat devotees of Krishna. So it's interesting, at the end of Krishna's pastimes, at what's called the Moksha Lila. The Moksha Lila is when Krishna and his associates left the planet. Krishna arranged a very interesting way to get rid of the demigods who had come down. And the reason Krishna wanted to get rid of the demigods when he was leaving, but after his mission was accomplished, was because they would create problems. Why would they create problems? We gave the example yesterday, we were talking to some devotees in the car, that if, let's say there's a coup here in Fiji, we don't want a coup, but let's say there's a coup, and the army has to go to downtown Suva just to protect everything. So after the coup, the army doesn't stay. Because if after the coup the army stayed, oh, they'd probably just get drunk and create problems. Because they, you know, they have weapons and everything like that. What are they doing downtown Suva? So Krishna's army is the same thing. After they accomplish their mission, they better get the heck out of there. And so Krishna made this interesting arrangement for the demigods who were part of his army, transcendental army, to go. And that arrangement was that they were actually cursed. And the reason that they were cursed, I mean, it's a whole interesting story, they fought with each other, one of Krishna's sons, Samba, wanted to tease the sages. He and the other little boys, or big boys, whatever they were, wanted to tease the sages like Narada Muni and Vasishtha Muni and all the other sages. And so what they did is this Samba, he put like a pillow in his stomach. And the little boys went to the sages and said, oh, this cute little girl is going to give birth. Is it going to be a boy or a girl? And the sages got angry and they said, yes, she will give birth to an iron club that will destroy your whole dynasty. So Samba got really upset and he gave birth to an iron club. And so they went to Maharaj Ugrasena, who was the king at that particular point. They went to him and they said, what should we do? And he just had a material plan. Just like Prabhupada talks here, that sometimes we have material plans how to get rid of problems. There's no material solution to this material world. Isn't it? There's no material solution. Anyway, so they had a material plan. His material plan was to take this club and just grind it up into little like powder so that it wouldn't cause any harm. So they threw in the ocean, they had powder in the ocean, they thought, wow, this is good. We tricked the sages. Actually, when you're cursed, there's no trick. The only solution is you take the dust of the feet who are cursing you and beg them to retract their curse. But there's no remedial measure against the Lord's desire. So, these pieces of the club, they washed back to the shore, and actually they became seeds, and they grew into like canes, probably like iron canes, you know, really strong canes. And one piece they couldn't grind up, it was like about this big. It became an arrowhead. And that arrowhead was taken by a tribal person. Anyway, we'll describe what happened in a second. So later on, the demigods who were the Yadav family, what they did is they went on vacation and they all got drunk. And then not only did they get drunk, but they started getting angry with each other. That's why if you have to take intoxication, take kava instead. But with liquor, actually Prabhupada said something very funny. He says there's two types of people who get drunk. A low-class person, when they get drunk, they just speak nonsense and get angry. Prabhupada said a high-class person, he was joking because no one who gets drunk is high-class. But he said a high-class person, when he gets drunk, he goes to sleep. So, anyway, so they got drunk and they were arguing and they were taking these canes and beating each other. Just beating each other. It's even described in the Mahabharata that Balaram himself was taking a club and beating some of the residents. Balaram wasn't drunk. But he was beating, and then finally they killed each other. The demigods, not Krishna's eternal associates. Like Arjuna was still there, Uddhava was still there. Krishna's eternal associates didn't leave in that way, but that was the way they were sending back the demigods after they appeared. So then, Krishna was sitting there meditating, and that hunter took that. He made an arrowhead out of that last piece of stone or that last piece of iron, and he shot it at Krishna's foot. And then Krishna went back to the spiritual world. He didn't die. This is actually called an illusory pastime to bewilder people. But this hunter, he was a very interesting personality. He was Brigamuni. He was an incarnation of Brigamuni. And Brigamuni had previously committed this great offense at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God. Actually, at the lotus chest of the Supreme Personality of God, not the lotus feet, but anyway. So Brigamuni was testing to see who amongst the primary gods was in the mode of goodness. So Brigamuni previously had tested Lord Brahma by not properly greeting him, and Lord Brahma was his father. And he also criticized Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva got angry at him. So Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva just lost it. They got angry. And then he went up to Lord Vishnu and kicked Lord Vishnu in the chest. And then Lord Vishnu, being in the mode of goodness, he apologized for having a hard chest. That's the mode of goodness. We can test any of you that same way. You do that with Samuk. Kick him in the chest and see if he's in the mode of goodness. So anyway, so then that was a great offense, and Lakshmi cursed Brigamuni and actually cursed many brahmanas. All brahmanas from that point forward, not to be very wealthy. And anyway, there's a whole story that Lakshmi left Vishnu at that point because she was so upset that he was too tolerant. See, then Vishnu became without any money. But that's a whole other story I'm not going to tell right now. So in any case, so that was Krishna's leaving the planet. So here we find the demigods and the eternal associates coming down to assist the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's one thing here. Another point I wanted to mention here that Brahma was able to hear the words of the Shuradakshai Vishnu in trance because he had previously executed austerity. It's not that anyone can see God. Naham Prakasha Sarvasha Yogamaya Samavrata, Krishna says in the Gita. Mudayam Avijanati. For those who are Naham Prakasha Sarvasha, for those who are actually not Krishna conscious, I cover them with my bewildering potency. Of course, here in this verse he mentions Yogamaya, but an expansion of Yogamaya is the Mahamaya. And so they cannot know him. So only those who are free of envy or free of anarthas can actually directly communicate with God. And Lord Brahma, at the time of the creation, he executed austerity he had so much faith in the Lord's instruction of tapa, tapa. That was the only thing he heard. The only instructions he got from the Supreme Personality of Godhead were austerity. Can you imagine if I did that to one of my disciples here? This Mukh would come up and say, what should I do? And I would say, austerity, austerity. Come on, I want more instructions. Austerity, austerity. So that's the only instruction Lord Brahma got in the beginning. And he meditated. And because of that, all the truths were revealed. He was able to see the spiritual world, write the Brahma Samhita, after he saw the local Vrindavan, because of his austerity. And he was able to directly see the Lord in his heart. It was directly, it's described, even the Lord came and shook his hand at that time. So when a devotee, a pure devotee, is in meditation, it's a direct experience. God is directly talking. If you're not a pure devotee, most likely it's your mind. You understand? Like sometimes I speak to people of different religions and I say to them, why are you doing what you're doing? You know, drinking or whatever. They said, God is in my heart and he's telling me this. But they're not able to hear what God is saying. They're able to hear with their mind the false ego and the modes of nature dictating to them. They're reinforced by the modes of nature. So only a pure devotee. And when one is a pure devotee of the Lord, like Lord Brahma, not only can you hear the Lord's instructions, but you can see the Lord's pastimes. Like Valmiki Muni, the author of the Ramayana, original Ramayana, he was able to see Ram's pastimes in his heart. That's how he wrote the Ramayana. He didn't send someone out with a mobile phone to take pictures, or spies to take pictures or take notes about what Lord Ram was doing. He saw all the Lord Ram's pastimes in his heart, and he was writing. And not only that, he also composed the pastimes of the Uttara Ramayana. You know the Uttara Ramayana? Anyone know about it? No one knows what that is. The Uttara Ramayana is what happens. Sorry. That's the whole story of Lava and Kush. You know, what happens after Ram brings back Sita, sends Sita away, and then you have the Uttara. Uttara means, you know, the final Raya or whatever, Ramayana. So that means the future. You understand the future? He was able to see the future in his meditation. Wow. Isn't that amazing? So pure devotees are like that. And all Valmiki did was he chanted the Lord's name. That's the proof. Well, like Prabhupada says here, Namachintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purnashuddha Nichamukto Vinatvam Namanamino. The Lord is fully present in his name. All Valmiki did, he didn't do anything else. He didn't do deity worship. He didn't cook prasad. He didn't wear a dhoti. He was in an anthill. That was why he was called Valmiki. That means anthill sage. All he did was chant the Lord's holy name. Wow. And then he was able to see the pastimes of Brahma in his heart. Isn't that amazing? Prabhupada also says in that regard that pure devotees, they have a spiritual television. Spiritual internet nowadays. Spiritual Facebook. How about that? So pure devotees have spiritual television and they can tune in on any of the Lord's pastimes they want to see. Wouldn't that be nice? What do you want to see tonight? What channel? This is like now they have this with satellite TV and people have hundreds of channels and they're all nonsense. Isn't it? 100% nonsense. So anyway, so pure devotee, he can watch Ram's pastimes tonight, or Varaha, Korma, Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, and all you've got to do is chant the holy name purely, like Valmiki Muni. Not only can you watch it, but you can be like Srinivas Acharya, who was able to enter into the Lord's pastimes, enter into Radharani's pastimes, and not only enter into it, but he would bring things back from the spiritual world. Wouldn't that be amazing? You just sit in meditation for 3 or 4 days, everyone's worried, and then after that you come back with a garland from Krishna Loka. So, I mean, it's amazing. It's real. There's a reality beyond this reality that you are not seeing because you don't have the vision. Naham prakasha sarvasya, that's the verse I quoted, yogamaya samavrita. You're covered by illusion. And you can become uncovered by chanting the holy name purely. Okay, so on that happy note, any questions or comments? Yes, Jambaba. You got to come closer. Yes. Oh, yeah. Sanjaya. Yeah, the whole Bhagavad Gita is actually the recitation of Sanjaya. Very good point. And he was temporarily given spiritual vision. That wasn't a permanent thing. The Vyasadeva was able to give him temporary, actually, let's go back a little bit on that story. Vyasadeva said to Dhritarashtra, I can give you vision and let you see the battle of Kurukshetra. And Dhritarashtra said, no, I don't want to, for the only time in my life, I don't want to see my sons die. He knew they were going to die. So therefore, Srila Vyasadeva said to Sanjaya, now you can see the whole battle of Kurukshetra. And he was able to perceive. At the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, he lost that vision. And it was only there for that period of time. Very good. Is there any other questions or comments? Yes, Sumukha. Yes. Yeah.
So if you go and say Bhagavad Gita to someone who doesn't know about Arjuna and Krishna, and
maybe you should explain to them about
it. Bhagavad Gita is a prince here, and he wants his kingdom, he's in the middle of the world. They would say, it's such a difference. Say Bhagavad Gita to people who are in the army or some soldiers. Why is it Bhagavad Gita to me? How do you explain them? Don't you come to Bhagavad Gita to them? Don't you want to prince?
Good point. Yeah, it was Bhagavad Gita was recited or spoken to Kshatriyas. That's true. But there's knowledge for everybody in there. Why do we say the Bhagavad Gita is only for Kshatriyas? It was spoken to a Kshatriya, but that doesn't mean it's only for Kshatriyas. It doesn't make sense to say that. But you should explain the story first. When you talk about Bhagavad Gita, we have the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is the setting the scene, you know, which describes all the armies and everything like that. So it's part of the larger work of the Mahabharata. So you can explain like that. And practically speaking, you're always almost always speaking to people with an Indian background, Hindus here. So they'll know what the Mahabharata is. And you explain to the Mahabharata, and it's meant for everybody. Why just say it's meant for Kshatriyas? But the Kshatriyas were intelligent enough, they could understand. Arjuna could understand the whole Bhagavad Gita in 40 minutes. For you it takes 4,000 years. And you still haven't understood. So, any other questions or comments? We got about 1 minute left. Questions, comments, arguments, problems? Does anyone want to see Krishna's pastimes in their heart? I would like to see that. That would be nice. I wouldn't need a computer anymore if I could do that. That would be wonderful. So that's the goal. We should keep that in mind. That if we perform our bhakti nicely, we can always be in ecstasy seeing Krishna's pastimes 24 hours a day. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, to me, that's like the greatest goal. And to serve Krishna 24 hours a day. And to be happy 24 hours a day. And to be exchanging one's rasa with Krishna 24 hours a day. And to be loving fully the Supreme Personality of Godhead 24 hours a day, engaged in loving exchange. There is nothing better. So that's the goal. That's why we should be strict in our bhakti. Get up early in the morning, chant your rounds with the Association of Devotees. Eat food cooked by devotees. You have to follow the process. It's a scientific process. I promise that Krishna consciousness is scientific, because if you follow the process, you'll achieve success. But if you just like eliminate certain items out of the process, you just say, well, I'll eat any damn thing, but I'll chant Hare Krishna. It doesn't work like that. It's a science. Just like if you're combining two chemicals together, you've got to follow the right scientific process to get, like hydrogen and oxygen, in the right proportion. If you don't combine them in the right proportion, you get an explosion. Isn't it? I mean, if you get hydrogen, just pure hydrogen, and you expose it to the air, it's not in the right proportion or not in a controlled environment, you will have a big explosion. So, you have to follow the process the way Srila Prabhupada has given it to us. Okay, on that happy note, all glory is to His divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.